All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got another legend in the house today, certified legend, B-Boy, one of the best B-Boys in the world, hands down, tattoo extraordinaire, damn, I can't fucking talk today, my friend, my confidant, one of the realest people I know, one of the rawest, most authentic people on this planet. If you give it up for B-Boy Smurf.
Okay,
we're live, baby.
I'm aligned.
Yeah, we're live, baby. We're we can live. Start. Let's start on a better note.
Let's start on a better note.
I was waiting for you guys to finish, and I was gonna let y'all know we were rolling.
Oh yeah, no, we're good. We're good. We're live, baby. B-Boy Smurf, E-Square Podcast. What's up, man?
What's up, man?
Thanks for being here, bro.
No, thank you for having me,
man. What you been up to, bro?
I want a cheers. Can we start off?
Yeah, let's start with that. Yeah, even cheers. Though you already took a sip, it's cool, bro.
You took a sip too.
Your first drink in 5 months.
I know we're taking it all in.
It's wine, bro.
Sorry,
we're
I'm
not taking
animal.
Shots.
I'm an animal. Sorry. Haven't had
I
a drink
got some
since
more,
February, so no, I'm okay. It's gonna hit me.
Okay. What are you going? Taking a break from alcohol or what?
I just partied too much that night, and I woke up feeling shitty, and I told myself I wasn't gonna feel like that anymore.
It's the worst, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, I've kind of become hangovers are kind of like a friend to me now, you know. You know how to deal, you know, an annoying friend that you just kind of put up with, you know.
Yeah.
But they're still a good friend because they offer you, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, once in a while, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
Plus the whole coronavirus shit, I haven't felt like there's anything for me to celebrate. And I use it to celebrate and just have fun. And I haven't been in the mood of, yo, by the way, these microphones make me sound really sexy right
here,
now.
Yeah, you always sound sexy, bro. You always sound sexy.
No, but these microphones.
Don't look me in my eyes. Don't look me in my eyes. But can you move the mic like more so in front of you? Not move this way. Yeah, but then just move the mic over here. Yep. So you can get some good audio. So what have you been up to, bro? You moved back to Vegas.
I'm back in Vegas, yo.
There we go.
Yep.
City missed you, man.
I know, man. I missed the city, man.
Yeah.
I love Vegas.
Hell yeah.
I love the people out here.
Yeah, what's the biggest difference you feel like from Cali to here? Because you're in the L.A. area, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that in L.A. it's so big that everybody is doing their own thing and it never comes together.
Really?
Vegas, yeah. Hmm. And there's a lot of pockets of different communities. I feel like in Vegas, the community is just one big community.
Hmm.
It's more together, you know. In L.A., you could live in downtown and your homie lives in Venice and you'll never get to see him just because the life is so crazy to keep up with. It's just such a big place.
Traffic, man.
You know, Vegas is a little bit smaller. It's a little bit more controlled and the community is much tighter here. If somebody has a show, you're about to see somebody you know.
Yeah.
In L.A., you could see different people every weekend. It's weird, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Vegas is really fucking small compared to a lot of other markets. I think that's why we're having kind of a, now that I think about it, I mean, I've always kind of felt like Vegas was a little bit not together, but maybe that's because I've always been here, so I'm kind of blind to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I spent some time in LA, but I wasn't in the scene out there. So, but Vegas is definitely small, man. And we're definitely like on an island, you know, I say all the time, but that's dope. You're here. It's dope that people like you come here and plant their seed, plant their flag. And, you know, because you brought a lot to the B-Boy community out here too.
Dope.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, we did together, but you did for sure. With, you know, I'm just off your coattails, you know.
I'm riding off the coattails of the community. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. Bro, those were dope times, man. It's weird to think about that because it feels so long ago, but it wasn't doing the Breakbeat Cowboys. How do you feel about like looking back on it?
I feel like, well, I mean, obviously I'm going to throw more of them.
No, for sure.
And, I know, you know, it does feel like a long time ago because you think about it, it's been like 3 years maybe since the last Breakbeat Cowboys out here.
Mm-hmm.
I had one in Los Angeles actually 2 years ago, but.
That was dope. The one downtown?
Yeah, the one
downtown.
Yeah,
I pulled up for that one, yeah.
And, you know, I just everybody coming together and just having a good time is just really what I'm after, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fortunate enough to be able to bring the community together. So I feel like I have a responsibility to do so sometimes.
No, for sure.
And I try to do it as much as possible. And as you know, everything comes out of pocket. I really don't got sponsors.
That's
without
the toughest
you, I wouldn't
part.
Have been able to pull it off here in Vegas. And you know, to do it by on your own, especially right now, is not the time. And eventually, it's gonna come back.
Yeah. Damn. Should we do another one?
Yeah, it's gonna happen.
Should we link up and do another one?
Well, maybe.
Damn. That was so fun because you know, I didn't grow up. I had some friends that were B-boys, but it wasn't part of my life for a while. So when Bonks introduced us and we started talking and I got introduced to the community, man, I fell in love, bro. It's such a dope vibe, you know, such a raw energy. It's like that part of hip hop that is like, it's not mainstream in any sense. And I don't think it ever will be. I don't think it ever should be.
Right.
But it's just the energy, man, like the battles, and it's so sick, bro.
It's fresh.
It's the dopest shit. Yeah. I don't know how to describe it, man. I tell people all the time. When we were doing it, I was trying to get people that that I know have never experienced it. I was trying to get as many people to come and feel the vibe and get, you know, and get that exposure to it, because, you know, dancing and all that is such a freeing form of expression. You know, like, we all dance, you know, but when you dance like that and you really, you know, you're around a whole bunch of people that are super dope that you just see walking down the street, but you would never guess they got the talent that they do. It's crazy, bro.
Yeah, it's so fresh. Crazy. That's another thing I like about Vegas. In Los Angeles, we have a lot of B-boys and B-girls, but the kids, they're not around like in Vegas. In Vegas, you got a fucking army of kids. Can I say fucking?
You can say whatever you want.
There's a fucking army of kids out here. The knuckleheads got kids. The battleborn guys got kids. Mm. It's just like fucking little armies. So to see
it's
that,
like in the
it's
family.
Inspiring, you know? It's, yeah. It's like, it's so tight. Mm-hmm. I love seeing shit like that. I like seeing kids out. It's dope.
Yeah. Oh, man. There hasn't been an event for a while, man. I think people are going to be itching to get out. But you've been doing your part with the spin theory, though, right?
I have.
How's that going?
It's going good. Mm-hmm. It's going good.
And that's your podcast.
It's a
well,
podcast,
kind of
TV show, comedy skit type of thing.
Dude, that shit is hilarious. And the production on it is crazy. And you do it all yourself?
I do everything myself. Yeah.
Man, that's how you do. That's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
I wish
I had help, though. I wish I had help.
Do you ask for help? Probably not.
I do. I try.
Okay.
I reach. I actually do have help. Actually, I'm gonna rewind. In the beginning, I wanted the help, mm-hmm. and naturally, I've been getting it. Mm-hmm. And now we've started two other channels: one in Russia and one in Italy.
Oh shit!
That's the Spin Theory, and I've expanded to them because they've been helping me out, and they've started their own channel. So actually getting help.
Nice.
But I wish I would get more help. Because even their graphics and their editing, I gotta do it as well. So
okay.
I'm doing everything.
So it's like the same across the board kind of deal. Yeah. So you just have like your friends out there going on and recording themselves, and then they send it to you and you edit it up.
Right.
Cool. So what's the what are you trying to accomplish? Is it like reviews on battles, or what are you doing on there?
It started off as me just calling out on everything I thought was whack in the culture. Cause there's a lot of shit that goes on the internet that is cheesy, and there's no source that you can really trust. That's like, yo, he's gonna say whatever the fuck is really what people are thinking. So I wanna be that person that says what the community is thinking and then just call people out, not on some negative, but on some like poking fun at the community, you know? I give a lot of props in the show as well. I'm trying to create entertainment within the dance community, so there's some type of value in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just about battles. There's a lot of characters involved, and there's a lot of peoples and there's stories to be told. So I wanna create that lane of, There's an entertainment aspect to the dance culture.
Yeah, 100%. What but you've gotten some backlash?
I have.
How's the internet backlash?
Yeah, every episode I put out, I take it down within a few hours because I start getting backlash, and I'll re-edit it.
Backlash from who?
There's, you know, some episodes have got backlash by the Japanese community. Some episodes of females, like two episodes ago, the females were coming at me.
Yeah.
Another episode was some homies, B-boy homies that are famous, and it's difficult because I know everybody. So when I talk about somebody, because they know me, they have access to talk shit to me and like not question what I'm saying, but
is the backlash all on social media, or is this people calling you in
both?
Okay.
It starts off with social media, somebody responding to something. I usually ignore it, but you know,
you have to, man. Everybody got something to say.
Yeah, but
you know,
I get bored and I read them shits and I just reply, you know.
I mean, it's, you can indulge every once in a while. I would tell you to do it sparingly, but you know, so how does that make you feel, man? You gonna keep doing it? Because I've thought of doing it when I started this. I'm well aware of me, especially if I start drinking, man. When I start drinking, I just start like throwing up stupid shit, you know,
me
like
too,
like just stupid shit starts coming out of my mouth. But so I'm well aware of what would I do in the situation if I said something to offend somebody. Ready?
Here we go.
Bling blow. There we go. You got it?
I got it.
But yeah, I'm like, I think about that sometimes. Is if I said something to offend a group of people or something, and they, you know, I get the backlash. You know, I guess it depends on what I really say. But at the end of the day, like, I know I'm not a bad person, and I'm not gonna say some real, like, I know where my beliefs are. So, you know, if somebody gets, because I make a, usually it's a joke that people take out of context, and then it's like, fuck them, you know, fuck them. I'm gonna say whatever I want to say.
Well, you in order to for us to be able to say what we want to say, we mm-hmm. risk insulting somebody eventually. Yeah. And, you know, that can't dictate how we feel or what we're going to say. We just have to say it.
Yeah.
And it has to be okay for us to say anything as long as there's no malicious intent behind it. You know,
right.
I'm not going to be talking shit about somebody's looks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk shit about what you do and your style.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got some horrible ass style and you out here, a B-boy is fresh. So if you look whack, I'm just going to be like, yo, this guy's fucking whack. And sometimes people get mad at that.
The
but
culture needs that. But it's just, that's how it used to be, you know? But now people don't, they draw back on that because of the, they're scared of the backlash. They don't want to take that or they don't want to be labeled as a quote unquote hater, you know? But fuck that. Like, if you're whack, you're whack. You know, if I think you're whack, that's just my opinion. That doesn't mean you have to think you're whack, you know? It's oversensitive, bro. The whole world is fucking oversensitive.
Yeah. And
can you put the mic a little bit closer to you?
And it's justified, you know, when people feel insulted by things, there's, you never know what people's state of mind might be. Somebody
yeah.
could be going through some shit, and
yeah.
what you're saying in the moment, they might be on a different frequency, so
yeah.
they're going to receive it differently.
Take it as like bullying,
you know?
Or something.
Yeah.
But you know what, man? Like, when I look back as a kid, me growing up, I was bullied all the time. But we all bullied each other in a sense.
Right.
You know, like when you're kids, or it just gives you thick skin, man. Even when you grow older, people are always going to say something negative about you. People are always going to say something positive about you. But it's just about, like, you can't just, I don't know, man. Just stop. Don't be a pussy when somebody says something negative about you. You
right.
know, it's like,
right.
you know, fire back.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe not fire. You know, I fired back before, and I try not to do that. I try to see everybody's point of view,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I, you know, and I don't talk shit about, you know, I'm just poking fun at shit,
yeah.
you know. You dancing whack doesn't mean as a person you're a bad person.
Exactly.
I don't like you.
Exactly.
I just don't like the way your body moves to the music. And
yeah.
it's okay. I don't have to like
yeah.
everybody's dance,
you're
but I still love you.
Yeah,
I still love everybody.
You're separating the dancer from the person.
Yeah.
In a sense. I feel you, because moving around in the music scene, I've had to do that a lot. I've had to separate. This is a cool ass dude. Super cool dude. I'll kick it with him, smoke a blunt, all that. But, like, bro, your music is booty cheeks.
Oh, yeah,
you
know? I know, like, 10 people like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, I think we all do, 20. Especially when it comes to music. But
30.
But once I learned how to do that, because I didn't do that before, I was like, dude, this dude is trash. Like, what is he talking about, you know? Like, and then I would generalize, you know, his artist into, you know, his person.
But everybody's dope, though, so
yeah.
somebody's going to find his music dope. So
it's just an opinion.
You know,
yeah.
he'll find his pocket if
mm-hmm.
he does. If he doesn't, he doesn't,
mm-hmm.
and... that's what it is, you know.
Yeah.
Not everything's for everybody.
Yeah.
So,
but sometimes
fine.
I hate, like, but when I do that, then I started feeling like, man, why am I like, why I need to, now that I'm his friend, I need to tell him he's whack, you know.
Yeah, you know.
But then I don't. It's like, you know,
it's
you're
tricky.
Right. You don't want to hurt.
It's tricky.
It is tricky. You
it's
don't want
tricky.
To hurt somebody.
If somebody asks me, I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll give him a solution before I talk shit. I'm
yeah.
like, yo, is this good?
Yeah.
Maybe you should put your left over here and hold this.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Now, if you don't do that, it's gonna look whack. But,
yeah. So how's your tattooing going? You busy?
My tattooing is doing good.
I'm
fortunate enough to have people that always want to get tattooed by me.
Mm-hmm.
So
how long you been doing now?
9 years, 9-10 years. The first 5, I was just bullshitting at home, tattooing here and there
mm-hmm.
for homies' birthdays. And the 5 years in, I started realizing that I could be making money.
Yeah.
So I kind of.
What's the stupidest tattoo you've ever given somebody?
The stupidest?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's necessarily like a stupid tattoo.
There's some stupid tattoos. Ridiculous tattoos.
There's
There's, like, you never drew, like, you never did something on your homie, like, while he was drunk and passed out.
You're I think those are the dopest ones. You know, like, when it's happened. I've tattooed me and my lady. She's tattooed me drunk. I have my homies tattoo me drunk. This is just what we do. And I think those are the tattoos that I actually enjoy the most, even though they look horrible.
But tattoos are more than that, you know, because I don't believe in getting tattoos removed or covered up or any of that. No. I mean, I guess there is some cases where, you know, you get somebody's
maybe
name
if you got like a Nazi fucking symbol.
Yeah, you should probably get that.
And like,
covered up.
You're a reformed skinhead.
Yeah.
You should probably cover that.
Right. But even so, it's like, you know, that was a time in your life. That's how I look at my tattoos. You know, right. Because you tattooed damn near my whole right arm, you know?
Yeah.
And without those tattoos, I don't know if I would remember that time in my life, you know? Because I remember coming to your house, doing the late night sessions, smoking and you know, being there for 5 hours. And half of it, we weren't even tattooing, we were talking, you know? So that's what I like about tattoos. When people get them covered up or removed, I'm just like, man, you know?
Well, to me, when you get a tattoo, it doesn't matter what the image is. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times, people focus too much on what the image is. Mm-hmm. And the image doesn't matter. When you get a tattoo, you remember the day you got the tattoo, mm-hmm. that week, how'd mm-hmm. you make the money, who went with you, mm-hmm. who tattooed it.
Your mind
and you start
frame,
capturing that week inside that moment because you have no other choice but to sit there and just think, you know? So I think that the moment is more important than the actual image. Mm-hmm. And that's why I probably got a lot of random ass tattoos, just because mm-hmm. I don't care what the image is. Mm-hmm. I just want to get tattooed by specific people.
Yeah. And the way I say it, the way I see it too, is it's just my suit, you know, it's going to go back to where it came from. So, you know, but that's
well, this is not you. This is just an illusion.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get into that.
No, let's get into it. we're just floating bodies.
We're just accessing the spirit frequency at the moment.
Mm-hmm. At the physical level, in the physical realm.
Yeah. We're accessing the sun. The sun is a Wi-Fi tower.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Never thought of it like that. What do you think happens after we die?
We go back into the internet.
Okay.
You know, just like your Instagram profile goes back into the internet. Like without it, right now you're capturing your Instagram profile. In the moment, and you're experiencing the reality
of
the internet.
I really like this analogy.
But when you stop using it, it doesn't die. It just goes back into the internet.
And then where does it go? Does it latch on to another profile?
You are the trees. It's here.
Yeah.
You're the trees and the sun and the moon and the fucking leaves and the animals. You're just an expression of it, maybe. Mm. I don't know.
I guess we'll find out.
We will.
So you believe in the Bible, in Jesus, and in heaven and in hell and all that?
I believe in heaven and hell.
In a sense of what?
In the sense that it's a state of mind.
Okay.
You know? Okay. So it's like the moment you die, the second you stop breathing and you go unconscious, wherever your heart is at that moment, that's where you're going to go. Mm. So if you're like in misery and you got hate in your heart, then you're going to go to hell. Because you're always trying to come back and fix it. So you always want to be good at all moments because you never know when you're going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why.
Interesting. Yeah. Did you grow up religious?
Yeah.
Catholic. Me too. Weird.
Yeah, no. Hey, you know what's crazy? If anybody's from LA watching this shit or hearing this shit, on Normandy and Pico, there's a church, St. Thomas, and there's a pastor, Pastor Dennis, and he was a pastor in the 90s. That's when I was a kid. And I don't know, but he was a pastor up until like, you know, fairly recent, like mid 2000s and shit. And he got caught touching kids the time that I was around. And the community found out and they burned down the fucking church, yo.
Damn.
And it's a bunch of drama, but I grew up in that and going to Catholic school on weekends and shit like that.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I grew up Catholic school, First Communion, confirmation.
Oh, yeah.
All that bullshit.
Me too. It's not bullshit, though. It's all metaphors, you know?
It is, but it's just like, it's just so icky and gross to me, you know. It's just weird, you know. But what is it with these pastors, man, doing this to these kids? Like,
I don't know.
What is it? What's the trend, man? Is it the fact that they can't get any pussy?
Yeah, they can't get no pussy. So what are you gonna do?
But kids, like,
I don't know. Maybe there's a home, like, you know, who knows, man? Who knows?
It's sick.
Knows?
It's sick.
Who knows?
It's sick. But the church to me is just like an icky place. It's very divisive. Religion is very divisive. And it's like, you know, they pat, you know, it's just like preying on the poor in a lot of ways sometimes, you know, with the, doing God's business, quote unquote. Give me your money, you know, so the pastor can go get a new house.
It's a business.
You know? It's a business, and but it's
the,
sickening.
The theory of religion is not, you know.
The theory
of religion is a good thing. Mm-hmm. It's just Christ consciousness. It's just being a crystal, you know, like just like a mineral from the earth. It's just being balanced. Mm-hmm. So there's no good and bad in anything.
So you don't believe in Jesus?
I believe in Jesus is a consciousness, like a way of thinking. That's what Jesus is. And we can all be that way. Mm-hmm. And it's just being balanced, that there's no good and bad. Everything has two sides to it.
Yeah, the Bible is very open for interpretation.
Word.
And that's why I can't fuck with it anymore. Because I just feel like when I was heavy in church for a while, like I got out of the Catholic church and then I found a Christian church and it was great. And I was all in, you know, but then it was like some things I just didn't agree. It was just weird. It just felt weird and I didn't agree with. And I was like, you know, if I'm not going to believe in this wholeheartedly and if I'm not going to like buy into the whole thing, then I'm not going to.
There's some things that are true in there. You know, we can save it for another one, but there's a lot of things in there that are actually applicable. It makes sense, you know?
No, I think church is good for a lot of reasons.
Not church, the Bible. I'm just talking about the words.
Okay, the Bible definitely has a lot of wisdom in it.
Yeah, it's a lot of wisdom
that you can take from. And I think any intelligent person should take some of those lessons that, you know,
Everything has good and bad. That's being balanced.
Yeah, for sure. But there's also like, you know, the Bible is like, you know, the whole homosexuality. They don't fuck with that. It's like, but how are you gonna have a church and run a church run by the Bible if you have homosexuals in your church? How does that make sense?
Yeah.
Oh, we love everybody, but you know, it's like, I don't know, man.
Well, they don't understand it.
It gets
so,
sticky.
You know.
It gets sticky.
Yeah.
You know. But what else are we gonna talk about? Oh yeah, I want to talk. You have a lot of opinions about the world and the state of America and what we've been going through. So how you feel about, you know?
I really don't have no opinions on it.
Yeah, you got all the opinions, which are very outspoken because you came up. Where'd you grow up?
In Compton, Watts.
Okay, and you're Mexican American?
Salvadorian.
Yeah. Sorry. Don't.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
I know how Salvadorians get when they call them Mexican. Nah, but so how do you feel, like, you know, coming from your background and being in America?
I think America is great. It's fucking dope as fuck, you know. I've lived in France for almost a year, but I've traveled the world and I've seen enough places to know that this country is still the dopest one. I feel like here I can say what I want. Mm-hmm. I can believe what I want. You know, some countries don't support that. And it's, you know, I just like how not strict it is here, you know, as far as me saying what I want to say on the internet.
And people and Americans don't understand that because they've never been most people that, like, you know, they probably never been somewhere else to experience it. So they kind of like take it for granted, you know, the freedom of speech and all that. So
freedom of speech, you know, even search and see, like, I can't get stopped by a cop and just get searched. It's against the law. And some countries don't have that shit. You're going to get stopped and you're getting stripped. You know, there's a lot of things that there's this country is valuable for. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's a lot of things that needs to be fixed.
For sure.
You know, but I don't know, man. I'm just in the middle.
Yeah.
Like, there's good and bad in it, you know.
Yeah.
But as far as living here, so far, I mean, obviously, this shit's fucking turning over. But some other countries have it worse, I feel.
Oh, 100%.
You know, so in the moment, I guess I'd rather just work on where I'm at, which is the U.S. And that's where I'm from.
Yeah, I think Americans, we might have been some other out of the country, you know, for vacation. But when you live somewhere, it's a little bit different.
But the U.S., for the record, is a cancer. So no matter where we go, we're fucked. Mm-hmm. Like, we've created a cancer in this continent. And basically every continent is a cancer cell now, you know, just like your body, like Japan, America, Africa, and it's we're traveling.
Are you talking about to the internet? I mean, not to the internet, to the environment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, either way, we're just still living in the sickness.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing I don't like, is that we're living in a sickness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I think the world is going in the right direction. Because if you think about, I mean, it's 2020. If you think about the world 1920, and that wasn't that long ago.
Yo, nobody had freezers.
Nobody had shit.
You couldn't have Hot Pockets on your shit, you know? Like, For real. You can, no, for real, now yeah. We have every type of weed.
Yeah.
It's just crazy, yeah. But we shouldn't be living like this. This is the incorrect way of living.
How should we be living?
We should all probably move to the equator where food comes out naturally from the ground and stay away where we can't be outside with our skin exposed to the sun.
Why?
Because we need to receive the information from the sun. So naturally we need to be exposed to it. And we're just so, because we live so up north, we need to cover ourselves up so much that we're not, that's part of the reason why we're not thinking right, because we're separating ourselves from nature.
Interesting, interesting perspective.
I don't know either, man.
It's just weird.
Yeah, it is. Right now you can eat Italian, fucking
whatever you want.
And it's convenient, but think about how much transport to bring in everything and the effects of that 1 second of joy in your mouth.
Yeah.
And the consequence is just much bigger. The snail trail of that shit is just deep, you know?
Mm-hmm. Are you vegan?
I am.
Okay.
I try to be as much as I can.
Okay. Yeah, man. What's scary is when I think about, when I think about 1920 and we're in 2020, when I think about 3020, that's 1,000 years.
Yeah.
2120?
3120.
2120, right? Oh, 2120. Another 100 years? Yeah, it'd be 2120. Yeah. Man, what do you think the world's going to look like, man?
We won't be moving around. We're going to probably be sitting down.
You believe the Matrix?
We're going to be in the Matrix. I think we're probably, I wouldn't say living in one, but we might be. Who knows?
In a simulation? Sometimes I feel like we're in a simulation now.
But we have to be, because we're not our bodies.
Okay.
You know, we're the environment in a moment. So technically, your body is an illusion. I think, you know, this is not you. You know, I look in the mirror sometimes and I look, I'm like, yo, this is not me. I look and I'm like, yo, I'm much more than this shit. You know, I am. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure everybody had that feeling before where you look in the mirror and you're like, this is just the body I'm in. This is not me. Because your mind, you know, your mind is much more than this body. And your potential is much more, you know, and your love and shit and your capabilities of hate are much greater than what your, you know, what this body can do. So this is just us coming back to experience physicality, but we're like probably digital creatures already.
Yeah, man. When I realized like our presidential, presidential options are Donald Trump, Joe Biden, and Kanye West, I'm like, this is a simulation. This is it. This is my confirmation. Yep. This isn't real.
Yep.
The aliens are just up there popcorn and just dying live.
The aliens are here with us, though.
Oh, they're here for sure. Yeah. They're here for sure. Yeah, exactly. Have you ever seen somebody just walk in or maybe talk to somebody or just had an experience with somebody and you're just like, you're an alien, dude. You know, you're not from here. There's no way.
Yeah, of course.
I've had a few experiences like that in my life.
Jim Carrey's a fucking alien.
Yeah, he might be. He's my favorite actor of all time.
I think that when you're an artist or like I'm a b-boy, so in the moment that I'm in the moment of the song where I'm just snapping, I'm not thinking of what I'm doing. It's not me controlling it. You know, it's just something that takes over me that controls my body and like when I do shit that I'm like, "Whoa, I did that." That's, you know, it's a spirit that takes over my body. So it's an alien.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that too. It's like you just tap into a different frequency.
Yeah.
You know, but I swear to God, I've seen people that I'm like, you're just like, you squeezed into like a human suit. Like you took a human Q-bert. Suit off. Yeah. It's like,
know Q-bert?
Oh, who?
Q-bert.
No.
What?
Who's that?
What?
Who's Q-bert?
He's a DJ.
Okay.
I think he won some DJ competitions. That's how he got popping, but...
He's an alien?
Yeah, he's a fucking alien.
Yeah, and then some people just look weird and they just talk weird.
Oh, yeah, that's me.
Yeah, you don't look weird. You look pretty normal. Good-looking guy over here. That hat's fresh, bro.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. So when are they going to expose themselves is what I want to know. These aliens. I think it's coming, bro. They're going to have to intervene here pretty soon.
They're already here.
No, I know, but they're going to have to make themselves known.
I think that an alien is in your body disguised as a parasite, and it's feeding in your body.
So you don't see aliens as the little green guys?
Nah, maybe when you're like high as fuck, you know.
I think aliens look a lot like us a lot more like us than we think.
I think we could be aliens, though.
No, I think we are aliens. Okay, let me give you this. Let me give you my my theory on how humans inhabited the Earth, right? So in a galaxy not far from here, there was like a black planet, a white planet, an Asian planet, a Mexican planet.
Damn, that's so racist.
An Hispanic planet. I know it is racist, but it's also kind of funny.
So what, we should be all going back to our planets? What are you saying?
No, it was a war. It was a war for power, right? In that galaxy, in that solar system, between all these different planets, right? And then the leaders of all these planets knew that that solar system was going to eventually self-destruct because of the wars, right? So they all got together and they said, okay, I'm going to take this amount of people from my planet. We found this planet over here called Earth. And we're going to see if we can coexist. We're going to drop them off and we're going to watch them from a distance. We're going to see if they can coexist. And that's where racism comes from.
Okay.
Right?
I'm halfway with you.
So they dropped us off in different parts of the world because they knew eventually that we would find each other, and they're trying to see if we can figure it out. And we're failing.
Damn.
On some levels. We're succeeding in some levels too.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. That's a dope. What would the name of the movie be called? Like, what would all this be called?
Race riots. No, I'm just kidding.
Race wars.
Race wars. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Race style.
I can see that as something that's a possibility, though.
Okay.
You know?
I like that.
Because I don't understand how people are different races. It's so weird to me.
Why?
Well, I don't know the science behind it. But
no, I don't either, actually.
Like, why is like a black person and a white person, why are they so different but so the same at the same time?
I think that maybe the white person came from the black person. And maybe
that's the theory too, because the black person has the Eve gene, right?
Well, I think that
what is the Eve gene? Do you know what that is?
No, I don't know. I have a Google though.
Yeah.
I think that the original man was black.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I believe that.
And I think that at some point, maybe some migrated north, and during one of the blizzards.
So you think it's due to geographic location?
Yeah, of course it has to be. There's no other explanation. Like,
okay.
And then maybe during the blizzard,
over time,
the white people or the blacks at the time got caught up in the Caucasus Mountains of Russia. Or like a bunch of Caucasians came out of there because
no sun.
They got stuck in the sun for like five generations, you know, whatever the blizzard was, 500 years of a snowstorm. So they got caught up in the caves with no sun.
Yeah.
And then when they came back,
made their noses
after
all
generations, their bodies adapted to the environment, and their eyes became blue and their hair got white, and they didn't need to create that melanin naturally to be out in the sun.
Yeah.
So maybe that's
Can you pull that a little bit closer to you again? Just pull it over. No, pull it over. No, scoot over. Yeah, but pull it over. Yeah, there you go. Perfect. Yeah, it's weird though when you think about it, because where then how did the first did you know this theory of how we came from primates? Is that a certain group of primates, something like this? They started eating mushrooms. They found mushrooms, and then our brain grew.
Yeah,
exponentially.
That could be a possibility, yo. Yeah, you know, I don't know. That's a possibility, though. Like when we were forced to go down to the grasslands and shit like that, that we started finding mushrooms, and that's how we created language and shit. I think that's a possibility. I think that makes more sense than an alien coming down and fucking one of our females and creating a fucking the spirit inside a human. Like maybe we were an experiment. Maybe you know.
I think it's
maybe
possible.
The Earth is
an experiment.
We're living inside of our own body.
Yeah.
So our bodies, you know, just, I don't know, man. This is weird.
It's weird.
It's electricity, weird, you know? I don't know.
You know, they just found another solar system or galaxy not far away with like 2,000 planets that
How are they going to know that?
That are in, that are like habitable or in theory have are a far away distance from a star or a sun. That it would potentially be able to hold life.
Well, I don't want to get too conspiracy theory up in here and shit, but you know, I don't know if I believe that they can see like a planet and see what it. You know, to us it's just lights. You know, when we look at fucking other planets, it's just actually three or four lights coming together to create a circular shape. But when you zoom in, it's lights, and I think Earth is just like that. Maybe when we're fucking awake, we're in this Earth frequency, because Earth does have a frequency. Mm-hmm. And then maybe when we go to sleep, we jump into another planet, and then we start time traveling like that. And we're just logging back into this reality when we wake up, and every, you know, it's just, maybe we are in a place of light, you know, maybe somebody in another planet is looking at Earth and we look the same to them.
Oh, I think so. 100%.
You know, so we're not real physical. We're just an illusion. Yeah. I think so. Nobody can see our reality physically. Mm-hmm. We are seeing it physically, but it's not existing. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
You've done a lot of drugs.
I have.
Just kidding.
Shitload. Do you have any?
I don't know, man. We can talk about that off air. But what's your favorite drug?
DMT. DMT.
You got a guy? You got a guy?
No, I don't know.
Good answer. Good answer. Yeah. I've never done mushrooms. I've been asking you.
What? You gonna know who Q-Bert is? You haven't done mushrooms?
Come on, man.
Fuck, man.
I know. I live under a rock, man.
Damn.
That's what happens when you get like a dog and all that, you know?
Yeah. You should listen to Q-Bert while on mushrooms.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your favorite drug? What's been a crazy experience for you?
My favorite drug? I don't know.
It's DMT, you said.
I wouldn't say I have nothing's a favorite drug.
Okay.
You know, I don't even consider them drugs. It's just substances.
Where did you go when you did DMT?
There's a bunch of times, I guess. One, the craziest experience, I felt like I went to hell because I thought I overdosed. Mm. Yeah, the craziest experience, I thought I overdosed. Uh-oh. And I thought I died.
That's not good.
And I shit, you know, I thought I was like, I gave up. Like, I thought I died. Yeah, so when I started tripping, in my illusion, I was tripping because I saw my own body sitting in the couch.
Oh, no.
So then I was like, oh, fuck, I overdosed. Why did I smoke so much? And then I started looking at my lady. I'm like, yo, I love you. I love you. She wasn't paying attention to me. And I saw myself in the couch laying there like a fucking vegetable.
Oh, no.
And I started tripping. You know, I didn't think I was going to go back into it. But I end up going back into my body eventually. But yeah. I thought I overdosed. So that was one of my worst experiences because I started crying. I started screaming. It was just really intolerable. You know, it was just really a deep pain.
Yeah. Yikes.
Yeah.
That's not fun.
No, it's not.
Did you do it again after that?
Of course. Not that day, though. It scared me for like 2 years.
Did you feel like you lost? You feel like the drug beat you?
No, I feel like it's the same thing. You know, when you do DMT, I feel like you die. Mm. So that experience, I wasn't happy in my heart. I was sad. I was lying a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, I was doing a lot of shit that I wasn't supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. So because my heart wasn't in the right place, in that moment that I thought I died, that's where I end up going because my heart wasn't right. Mm. And usually when I do it, I'm happy. I'm always happy. You know, I'm a happy guy.
Yeah.
So I'm usually in a good place. So that time, I did it just the wrong timing. It was just wrong timing. So ever since then, I try to be at peace with myself. And now I'm able to die at any time.
Yeah.
You know, I hope it doesn't happen when I step out of here. But if it does, I don't owe anybody any money. I don't owe anybody any energies. I haven't fucked anybody over. And I came straight with it. So I feel like right now I'm in a good place, man. So that's why I just don't give a fuck. Just do things.
Yeah, your life is so much better when you just...
It's free, man.
Cleanse your sins, man. You know? What about mushrooms?
I love mushrooms.
Yeah, you do them often?
I do. Mm-hmm. I do. I haven't done them since like January, mm-hmm. You know, I was shrooming.
You do a certain kind or you just do whatever?
Whatever I get. Or golden caps, anything that I come across, as long as it's, you know, mushrooms.
Yeah.
I'll experiment. I like different things.
Yeah, no, it's on my list, man. I haven't done mushrooms a day in my life. Never once.
Word?
Yeah, I'll
hook you up.
I've always been scared, bro. Yeah, slide on over. I'm ready. I'm ready now. Because I'm a paranoid person. In general.
Good.
So, which has kept me a lot out of a lot of trouble, but it's also gotten me into, it's also kind of been a hindrance on, I don't know if that's the right word.
Yeah, no, it is. But,
it's been kind of a hindrance on me too because I'm so paranoid, you know. I overthink a lot. So, I knew from based on what people told me, like, if you're not in a good space, don't do it. But I'm cool now.
It's the best chance to confront your fears. Mm. That's what it's for.
Okay.
To like learn how to let go.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we try to control our environment so much. Mm-hmm. When shit doesn't go our way, we start stressing out because we think we're in control, but we're not in control. Mm. You know. So that's a good way to just train yourself. That's why I do it. I like to train myself to let go and to submit into whatever place I end up going. Mm. And I never have bad trips. When you start trying to fight the trip and you're trying to get out of it and you're like, I don't want to feel like this no more, that's usually when you start tripping out. Right. But if you submit to it, it's going to take you to a beautiful place. So just, you know, do that shit.
Yeah, I'm doing it. Because I've always been so scared, man, to try drugs. Because I always felt like I was going to be the guy who tried ecstasy the first time and he died, you know?
Yeah, and that could happen, so don't do ecstasy.
No, I don't do none of that shit. Especially now, dog, with that fentanyl shit going around, not fuck with any of that shit.
Fentanyl's been on cocaine for like fucking 100 years.
Yeah.
No, not 100, like 15 actually, 10.
But yeah.
I've always been using fentanyl.
You know they got fentanyl strips? You just, you can test whatever you got for fentanyl.
Yeah, that's what I would suggest. Anybody that's doing drugs out there, is that camera recording right there?
Yeah, we're all recording.
If anybody's doing drugs out there, go to fucking Amazon and get yourself a test kit. Mm-hmm. That's really what I'm going to say. Yeah.
Can you slide that over to me? See if we can get this right.
I feel like, who did this artwork?
I think he did it.
You did this?
Yeah, I knew it.
Oh, man, Tenez is a fucking beast.
Oh, that was close. That almost went south. Thanks, brother.
We're trying not to scratch the table, by the way. I don't know if you guys can see this. He's hand-painted this table. There's a bunch of cool designs on it. One day we're going to just show an aerial view of this. Actually, we're going to show it right now. See that? There you go.
Cue the drone.
Same as the floor. All right, we're going to show the floor right now. Here we go. Boom. Right there. So check out the floor right there. Check out the worms. All right, come back to us. All right, here we go.
Shout out Philip Wolf on the ones and twos.
Shout out to Wolfie.
Yeah. So what else you got going on, man?
I'm trying to transition out of tattooing.
Why?
Because it stresses me out a lot.
I can tell that. I can tell that for sure, especially when we came over there the other day. You're such an artistic person that if I feel like when I come to you, I understand kind of who you are. So I kind of want to give you free range kind of to with your input and with your creative vision, you know. And I don't think a lot of people understand that when they go to a tattoo artist. They have, like, their vision, but they don't understand that you can't see into their head of what they want. And I think that causes some friction with you. Am I right?
I think that's good and, like, a way of seeing it, you know, and I see it like that as well. I think it's up to us to inform the client on how to pick a tattoo. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that sometimes the client doesn't even know what they want. The client just wants to get tattooed, and they want some cool shit. So usually when somebody comes in and starts talking to me about some lettering, the first thing I usually do is get my iPad or something or a piece of paper, and then while they're talking to me, I'll draw in front of them. Mm-hmm. So then I start narrowing down styles. So I'm able to do that. So I'm able to deal with the client much better in that way.
That's the thing, too, that probably stresses you out, too, is you have, it's not just the time you're doing the tattoo. You have to draw it out, prepare it. You probably have to draw 3 or 4 or 5 different sketches before somebody likes it, right?
I think that's what is stressing me out.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I work, you know, 10 hours a day, and then when I come home, I end up having to draw another 6 hours or 3 hours.
That you're not getting paid for.
So then it's like, my whole day is consumed by this, and I just want to be able to go home mm-hmm. and then wake up and go to work. And not saying that I'm gonna get a regular job, but you know, I'm still gonna tattoo. It's gonna be really selective, but I don't want to work at my, like, I don't want to have be at the shop all day waiting or just do tattoos. I don't want to do, I don't know. I'm just in a weird place to where I don't want to fall out of love with it because I love tattooing.
I
feel like this industry and the way that I'm that as many hours as I'm working in it, I'm gonna get burned out, and I don't wanna do that, so I'm gonna take a step back and transition into something else.
What do you plan on doing?
I wanna sell paintings.
Yeah, you don't do that already?
I do. Mm-hmm. But it's never been.
So business is picking up now, or what?
Now that I've focused on it because of the coronavirus, and we've been quarantined, I've been painting a lot more. Mm-hmm. And it has reminded me of how much I love painting. Mm-hmm. So now that I've been back to work, I realized that I need to create a balance between both. So I need to fall back on tattooing a little bit and focus on my art and focus on, I've been doing more murals and I've been selling more paintings. And I feel like if I focus my time on it, I could be doing this more and it's less stress.
Where do your sales come from? Is it just for some insight into that industry as far as other, like, up and coming artists that might be able to gain some information? Is it social media pretty much, or is it do you go through different retailers or what?
I think that if anybody is starting and is trying to create a business or a type of income with their artwork, I think the main thing is consistency. You know, social media is a big tool for me because I give a lot to my followers. Mm-hmm. I'm always putting up content, and I notice that, you know, even with my paintings, for example, during the quarantine, I've been posting the process of the paintings, and I get a better reaction. Mm. People start, and I think that as you keep doing it, people start falling in love with you more because they see your growth, and you're pumping out so much work that I don't know how to explain it, but you know, it's just every artist has a different niche, mm-hmm. because there's a different pocket of clientele. Mm-hmm. You know, you can just do a bunch of sunflowers and just be the sunflower person. Now people are coming to you for flowers. And, you know, for me, I've been painting a lot of paintings of musicians. Mm-hmm. That's what I like. You know, I'm putting a show together next year in June.
Dope.
And that's what I'm getting ready for.
Like an art show?
Like an art show. Mm. It's going to be an art show party. And right now, from now to then, actually, I started in this September of last year. Mm. I've been accumulating paintings and putting down projects and works of, like, series of different artwork. Mm. And, the quarantine gave me an opportunity to focus on that more. And I just realized that because I'm painting so much of that, people are asking me to paint the family members. Mm-hmm. So now people are like, yo, can you paint my uncle mm-hmm. and my mom together? Because they don't have a picture together and passed away. Mm. Stuff like that. People are hitting me up because I do so many portraits. And like, if I started doing a bunch of animals, like every day for 3 months, mm-hmm. somebody's going to end up asking me for a dog portrait of their pet.
Oh, for and sure.
So as an artist, we just got to like, We spend 80% of our time creating the art and 20% of it selling it, mm-hmm. when we should be creating it 20% and using 80% of the time trying to figure out how to sell it, mm-hmm. and how to market yourself and how to create a pocket. Yeah. It's all about creating a pocket because you can't do everything. You got to figure out the one thing that you enjoy doing, figure out what you enjoy doing, and do it every day. Mm-hmm. No exception. Do it every fucking day. If you don't do it every day, you don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's just what I think my advice. I mean, I could
that's good advice. No, that's good advice. Because it's like, it's kind of, it can be kind of draining, you know, especially for an artist. You want to be, you want your art validated, you know, and there's nothing better than to like, to do what you love. If you're doing art, you're painting, there's probably nothing better than to do that full time and make a living off that, you know.
It becomes stressful.
But it can drain you, know, you too.
Anything becomes stressed.
Yeah, I could see it like, not becoming fun when it turns into the business part, you know?
And in tattooing, it's gotten to the point where now it's all business. Mm-hmm. And now that's why I want to kind of step back because it just became every day of the week, I got like 3 tattoos a day or something stupid where I'm just like, I'm overworking myself and I'm not having fun anymore.
Yeah.
And I dread sometimes going into work to get ready for a fucking 10-hour day. And it's just like, fuck, yo, it's, you know, it can start off like that. So now painting is what I've been enjoying.
Yeah.
And I think I want to transition to that. And then when I get tired of painting, I'm going to start doing some other shit. So I feel like every 10 or 15 years, I start changing careers.
That's good. Reinvent yourself.
Yeah.
Never too late to reinvent yourself, bro. Anything else you want to talk about? I've been here for a minute.
Yeah, man. That's it. I just want to let everybody know to follow The Spin Theory on Instagram. Mm-hmm. That's my show. And we talk about hip hop. We talk about breaking and stuff like that. So if you guys want to take a sneak peek at what we got going.
Dope show. Spin Theory.
That's it. Episode comes out Friday. This Friday at noon, we will be releasing the next episode. So hope you guys stay tuned. When does this come out?
I just dropped one. I'll probably drop this probably Friday or Saturday. I don't know. I don't really have a schedule. I don't really want to. I don't really want to be overthinking it. So I mean, people have been telling me like, oh, you should do one once a week. 9 a.m. every Monday. I'm like, dude, I don't get time for
shit. Yo, everybody, about this whole racism shit, nobody gives a fuck about all that racism shit. I got black homies, I got Mexican homies, I got white homies.
Word.
And at the end of the day, we only start beefing with each other when we let the media take over our minds. So just fight that shit.
Word. That's word. What I'm saying. Word up. All right. Thanks for being here, bro.
Thank you for having me.
Love you, man.
Love you too, man.
Till next time. Peace.
Double up. Cover my face because of the coronavirus. Coronavirus is real.